Dr. Vader.
I'm Rachel Otwell. You're listening to Illinois Edition on WUIS. Joining us now is the band Epsom. They're a local group, and we'll just jump right in. Go ahead and introduce yourself, guys.
Christopher Zander, I play guitar.
Tim Hart, drums.
Stephen Scrow, guitar.
Scott Fingold, vocals.
There's a good deal of humor to the way you describe yourselves on your Facebook page anyway, and I take it that translates over to real life, at least somewhat. But how serious are you when you say you belong to the genre gratuitous shock rock?
I think it's pretty accurate, but that doesn't necessarily make it serious. I think that we're enjoying ourselves, and I think that a lot of what we enjoy is kind of in a quote-unquote gratuitous shock rock way. Like, we're not actually biting off the heads of bats or anything, but we really support that kind of behavior. And so, you know, we'd like to just go on record with that.
Definitely gratuitous shock rock to us.
Right. We shock ourselves every day.
How else would you describe your music to those who haven't heard it before?
I like to say easy listening, you know. It's easy to listen to.
Yeah. well, it's funny because I think we all come from a sort of at least punk rock informed background, you know, to some extent. But there's an idea that punk music has like a particular sound, kind of the hard, fast rules. And we definitely don't subscribe to that. I think it's more the original early idea of punk is just kind of a way to be self-expressive without having to be technically brilliant, you know, and just getting what it is out of you and out into other people's ears, whether they like it or not, as opposed to trying to fit some sort of like, you know, idea of punk. So we play with punk bands around town, like younger bands, and they seem to appreciate us even though we sound nothing like them. So I feel like that's mission accomplished right there.
So the next song you guys are going to play is called Animal. Will someone introduce it for us? Tell us a little bit about it.
The long title is I May Be an Animal, But You Don't Need to Remind Me Every 5 Minutes, which is too long of a title, so we make it into Animal. It was based on an incident between myself and my friend Steven Gobble, who one day we were working together and there was a picture of a scantily clad woman that he had to pass every few minutes as he was doing his job. And about after half an hour of that, he turned it around so he couldn't see it anymore. And he muttered that phrase to me. It's like, I might be an animal, but I don't need to be reminded every 5 minutes. And I kind of always remembered that and sort of as a tribute to him and to this idea about us not really having, as a species, a choice about what we're responding to physically. You know, and just kind of made almost an essay about that in song form, which is really not an appropriate or common idea for a song. So that's what was appealing to me. It's probably our closest to actually being a regular punk rock song, too.
It's good to be in touch with your primal side, and no good can come from trying to hide. Nature is a force with which we all must reckon. You never know when it'll decide to beckon. Brilliant, no matter how dumb. What are you? An animal. Convenient excuse, I gotta admit it. I may be an animal, but you don't need to remind me every 5 minutes. What are erections to see elevated? Each lubrication divinely faded. So when faced with physical symmetry, we cloak our arousal in poetry. At the mercy of an inner try to play it off as something cute. What are you? An animal. Convenient excuse, I gotta admit it. I may be an animal, but you don't need to remind me every 5 minutes.
I'm Rachel Otwell. You're listening to Illinois Edition on WUIS, and the band you're hearing is local group Epsom. Tell us a little bit about your songwriting process.
Well, I'll come up with a guitar riff just out of the blue, just practicing or whatever, and come up with something. And then Scott will show up at practice and say, hey, I've got these really cool lyrics. And I'm like, well, I've got this guitar lick. And he's like, well, let's put them together. And
miraculously, it's worked. Again, it works. It's sort of that organic thing again. We've never really set out to have a process. The guitar playing, riff writing that Stephen does, and the lyrics that I do are generally done in completely different times and places. And every time so far, even though we've talked about it, we should have jinxed it by now, it seems like they always seem to go together organically. So we just kind of ride that.
And so you guys are all obviously local musicians, but you've been involved in other projects as well. Maybe we can go around and you guys can tell us a bit about your individual backgrounds.
This is Scott. I'm the vocalist. I've been involved in music in town since I was a teenager. There was a long period when I wasn't living here, but I'd originally played in a punk band with Tom Armstrong and Matt Galletti called Flawless Ketchup when I was 15. And I played bass in that band and also recorded a solo album when I was 14 that we recorded on a cassette. It was called Lick My Bass. And later on, I was in other bands in high school, and eventually, years later, I started a band with Tim and Jim Schneep and Ted Smith called Backwards Day. It was actually existed from about 1988 to about 1994. And for a couple of years there, we were really dominant in a way in the local market as far as like alternative music went during that period. People would really show up to see us. And I was also writing for the Illinois Times at the time, and I stopped writing for them because I was mainly writing about music and it felt like I was a conflict of interest. And then three of us, not Tim, moved to Chicago. And I was out of town for about 20 years until I came back to finish my degree. And when I reconnected with Stephen, then we started this band.
I'm Stephen. I play the guitar. Really only been in one other band, and that band was Buck Gravy. And Scott actually mentioned Stevan, who he worked about the Animal song. He and I were in a band with another guy, Joe Danko, who played drums. And we played quite a bit for quite a long time, and in fact played with Scott and Tim's band Backwards Day a bunch. But that's about it.
My name is Tim Hart. I play drums. I played in many, many bands from high school at Landfair High School. And then I played in the jazz band at Lincoln Land Community College. Then I played with a lot of different jazz bands, a lot of different rock bands. Presently, I play with Tom Irwin. And sometimes I play with a Christian band that is based out of Sherman. So I've done a lot of different music for a long time. Went to Japan with the Sister Cities Association.
When one of your early bands beat high school band in a battle of the bands, like in 1982, I think.
Yeah, that was at Springfield High School.
Yeah. And which band was that?
It was called Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus beat Flawless Ketchup in the battle of the bands, like 30 years ago. And now look at us.
All right, I'm Christopher, and I play guitar. I've always been a really good audience member. Never really played music until later in life, but I've always appreciated it, and I've seen all of these guys' bands. So I picked up the guitar late. I do visual art stuff, so that's really kind of how I got involved with these guys. I did photography for them and designed the 45 that is on sale. Learned how to play guitar, and I did a lot of recording but not performing. So I was in a band called the Savant Tards and Galactic Puss. That's the extent of my musical career.
All right. So we will move in now to the third song, I Blame Society. You want to tell us a little bit about that one?
Okay. That actually is a different version of that is on our 45 that as Christopher mentioned, is for sale. It's changed a lot since we recorded it. It used to be faster, and there was only the one guitar really initially. That song is – it's hard to really say. A lot of my lyrics are very sort of impressionistic, I guess. I'd rather have people be able to take what they – want and interpret them as they stand. But the idea of saying I blame society to me is just a completely absurd statement to make, especially as forcefully as we make it. It's a real cop out, and the song is definitely sarcastic, but perhaps bitterly sarcastic. I think it's kind of a harsh sentiment if you listen to all the lyrics, and yet I think there's humor there because I think the chorus completely undercuts the verses, which is something I'm interested in, just as a writer is having internal contradictions and potential irony in there for people to be able to take apart and interpret as they will.
More obvious than the weather, bigger impact too. 1,000 for an interstate. Less tenuous than the tether, binding false and true. Conflating love and hate. I blame society. I blame society.
So we talked about your guys' backgrounds. You probably have combined, especially an interesting perspective on the Springfield music scene. And I was just wondering if you wanted to weigh in maybe on some of the strengths and weaknesses as you see them.
All I can say is it sure seems like a lot of bands now. A lot of bands, but I don't know.
I'd just like to say that there's no money.
Yeah, that too. And a lot of bands receiving no money.
Yeah, a lot of bands
that
receiving,
deserve it.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Nobody gets paid anything.
But at least we don't have to pay to play.
That's
like
true.
In bigger cities, they do that.
Right. Yeah,
that is true.
We count that as a blessing. It seems like, especially compared to years ago when Tim and I were playing together in Backwards Day, it seems like there's a lot more creativity, a lot more of a scene. You know, there really wasn't a scene then. You know, we were just kind of creating what we did out of whole cloth. And now, doing this, we're, with the Black Sheep Cafe and all the shows that they bring in all the time, there's really a sense, if you're there, if you're aware of it, of something actually happening here in Springfield, where it used to be sort of very handmade. It still might be, but we find ourselves having to situate ourselves in relation to an existing scene of like alternative or punk music or indie music, where before it was just like we were like lone wolves, and that's interesting. Again, there is, I don't think anybody who's playing in a band in town is doing it for the money. If they are, they're sadly mistaken, I think. And yet I don't think that's necessarily a negative, because I think it means that you're playing music for, I hate to say the right reasons, but I'm going to go ahead and say the right reasons, because you're doing it because there's something in you that needs to come out and could potentially be enlightening or exciting to other people. And you're not doing it because of a profit motive or anything like that.
And so take us out on this last tune, which is called The Pleased and the Pleasant.
That's a new one. We've never played that in public before. I guess as far as the lyric goes, I guess it's sort of, there's some more bitter sarcasm involved in this, but maybe we're more bitterly sarcastic than gratuitously shocking. But the it was basically just almost an exercise to see if I could write a song about people whose primary characteristics were being pleasant or being pleased, which just seems like the exact opposite of what any song would be about.
Is legion gratified? That's what we are, the most fulfilled folks in the tri-state region. The pleased, the pleased, the pleased. We're so agreeable, we never fight. Just perfectly darn delightful. Jovial, affable, downright sweet. Fair-minded and insightful. The Pleasant. The Pleasant. The Pleasant.